Good morning. Welcome to the Four Lakes Church of Christ this morning. I'd like to welcome all of our members and any guests that we might have here. And if you're visiting with us, make sure you stick around so we can meet you afterwards. Is this okay? All right. Silas has gotten to the point where he just takes care of this for me, so I don't have to worry about it when I get up here, which is helpful. This morning I wanted to start out by telling you a little bit about what happened to me yesterday. So I was behind on email, so I was getting caught up with my work email, and it kind of helped me to prepare for my lesson this morning. So I was going through, and I'm pretty bad about, there's certain emails that I just don't want to touch because I'm, you know, worried about what the outcome is going to be. I know that somebody's going to be upset with me if I respond what's actually going on, so I'll take care of the easy ones first, and then I'll go and take care of the hard ones, or I may just not get around to those, you know, and they get lost in the shuffle. But yesterday I was like, I'm going to take care of everything so I don't have anything to worry about. Everything will be off my to-do list. And so I got to this one email, and there was this guy, his name is Andrew, and he's kind of high up at Epic, and he had sent me an email to check in on a project and was wanting to know how things were going. And I hadn't wanted to respond to this email because things weren't going well. And I knew that that was not going to look good on me. And this is kind of what made me think about what I was going to talk about today, is like what all goes into that fear and, you know, how can that apply to our Christian life? Because I was sitting there, I didn't know how he was going to respond when I told him the status of the project, that it wasn't going well. Or maybe I didn't know how he was going to respond and he wasn't going to be happy with how things were going. And so, you know, as I began to get ready for this lesson, I also thought about what's something that I'm afraid of. And public speaking is a thing that, you know, I think a lot of us struggle with. And as I was looking at what common fears are for people, you've got things like snakes, which I'm also afraid of. You've got things, people are afraid of dying, you know, because either you don't know what's going to happen or you don't know what the process is going to be like. But across multiple lists I looked at, public speaking was the number one thing in America that people are afraid of. And so I thought, you know, to myself, what are the things that make people afraid of that? And then thinking about our Christian lives, I think there's a lot of similarities there. Because I think fear is something that we must overcome as Christians if we're going to be effective. We have to not be afraid of who we are and who we serve. And, you know, so some of the things that scare us about public speaking are past experiences that have gone bad. You know, everybody's got that story from first grade or fourth grade or something where you got up to give this presentation and, you know, you fell down while you were talking, or you forgot what you were going to say, and you always remember that, and you think that's how every time after that is going to go. There's always got to be something that goes wrong. You know, so we have past experiences, we have other things, you know, we're worried we're not going to know what to say, we're going to get nervous, we're going to rush through it, whatever the case may be. And I think a lot of the times the same kind of things happen in our Christian lives. So we need to recognize why we're afraid. Over 103 times in the Bible, there's encouragement about us being afraid. So it's got to be something that people have dealt with throughout the Old and New Testament. God directly tells people around 29 times, do not fear, do not fear. Bill read one example of that earlier, and I've got some other examples here to get us started. Like in Matthew 6, verse 34, to the Jews, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has its own trouble. So we see here, you know, people are worried. Like, God wouldn't have inspired writers of the Bible to write what they did if people weren't fearing. We read Isaiah 41:10 to kind of show an Old Testament example that, you know, clearly people were fearing in this time because God wrote this. And also kind of the verse that I heard in a Bible class that kind of prompted me to think about preaching on this was in Revelations 2:10 to the early church, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. This one was written for churches who were about to go through a lot, like we may be facing today. And so that's, you know, something to keep in mind as we go through this lesson is why are we told so much not to fear? And I think it is because there are so many opportunities for us to be afraid as Christians. There are so many things for us to be afraid of. And it's something that people have struggled with since creation, you know, being afraid of either saying that they're Christians or that they're serving God. So let's dig in a little bit more about the why. So what causes us to be afraid? What causes that feeling when I'm about to get up here that my stomach gets tight and, you know, the hair on the back of my neck raises up? What causes that to happen? And I think a lot of times, you know, we perceive danger. So we think that something's going to go wrong. Somebody's going to make fun of us. Somebody, you know, I'm going to get up here, like I said, and I'm not going to make any sense to anybody. Nobody's going to get anything out of what I say. But when we fear anything in life, like if we're afraid of snakes, it's because that we think they're going to bite us, they're going to hurt us. If we're afraid to say something, it's because we're afraid of what the response might be. So that perceived danger, and I think we can break that down into three things. And one of those is the unknown. So in that example I gave of the email, what's the response going to be? I don't know how he's going to react. This is the fact of what happened. I don't know how much better I could have handled it, and this is what we're up against. And I want to look at an example in Genesis of how Abraham handled the unknown. If you turn over to Genesis chapter 20, verses 1 through 11, I want to read that today. Genesis chapter 20, verses 1 through 11 on page 28 in the Pew Bible. Now Abraham journeyed from there toward the land of Negev and settled between Kadesh and Shur. Then he sojourned in Gerar. Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, "She is my sister." So Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream of the night and said to him, "Behold, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is married." Now Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, "Lord, will you slay a nation, even though blameless? Did he not himself say to me, 'She is my sister,' and she herself said, 'He is my brother'? In the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands I have done this." Then God said to him in the dream, "Yes, I know that in the integrity of your heart you have done this, and I also kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. But if you do not restore her, know that you will surely die, you and all who are yours." So Abimelech arose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their hearing, and the men were greatly frightened. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, "What have you done to us, and how have I sinned against you, that you have brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? You have done to me things that ought not to be done." And Abimelech said to Abraham, "What have you encountered that you have done this thing?" Abraham said, "Because I thought, surely there is no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife." So this is one example. Abraham actually goes on to do a similar thing another time where he thinks he knows the outcome. He's not exactly sure. And so he lies about Sarah being his wife to avoid a certain outcome. And I think that we can, that's something for us to take notice of. Are we doing this in our lives? Are we, you know, being afraid to talk to people because we don't know what the outcome is going to be? And then as we go through the lesson, hopefully we'll talk about some ways to overcome that. But I think that's important, you know, if we catch ourselves thinking, what are people going to say if I do this? Or if I say I'm going to church on Sunday mornings or I behave differently, what are people going to say? Or what are they going to do if I tell them that they're living in sin or that, you know, I follow what I'm supposed to be doing as a Christian? How many times do we ask ourselves those questions and then spiral into the anxieties and fears of like, well, I don't know how they're going to react. And then we play out every scenario, right? Like, well, maybe they'll never talk to me again, or maybe this or that. And so we want to take notice of the times that we're doing that. Also, I think another thing, at least I find myself falling into, is we're afraid of being wrong. So, you know, if we're to say something to somebody that we're not completely confident in ourselves, then we have this great fear that they're going to come back and they're going to say, "Oh, you're wrong about this." And I don't have a response for that, right? Like, I haven't studied enough or I haven't done this or that. And so for that, I want us to look at Acts chapter 18, verses 18 through 28 at Apollos. But just be thinking about as we turn over to Acts 18 through 28, you know, are there situations in your life where this has come up where maybe you go to speak to a family member or you don't want to bring the gospel up with coworkers because you're afraid of what they might say, or you know, you're afraid they might out you for maybe you're not studying your Bible enough. Maybe I'm not studying my Bible enough, so I don't know what I need to know. And if I start talking to people about God and about this, that's going to become very apparent. And so that's a fear that can really hold us back. So hopefully you're with me in Acts 18, verses 18 through 28. "Paul, having remained many days later, took leave of the brethren and put out to sea for Syria, and with him were Priscilla and Aquila. In Cenchrea, he had his hair cut, for he was keeping a vow. They came to Ephesus, and he left them there. Now he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay for a longer time, he did not consent, but taking leave of them and saying, 'I will return to you again if God wills,' he set sail from Ephesus. When he had landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church and went down to Antioch. And having spent some time there, he left and passed successively through the Galatian region and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Now a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wanted to go across to Achaia, the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he had arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. And so here we see an example of someone who was fervent in the spirit and was still needed to be corrected about things. So we can know that as we go through life, there may be times that we are wrong, even as Christians. We should want to avoid that. We should want to study so that we make sure that that doesn't happen. But we ultimately know that that can happen. And so I think there's a couple things that can lead to this fear. You know, they'll know that I don't know, like I was mentioning earlier. So if I'm talking to someone and I don't sound confident in what I'm saying, they're going to know I don't know the scripture as well as maybe I should. Or we think I'm going to lose credibility with this person. So this person, you know, that I work with or I spend time with or in my family, like always, you know, has looked up to me as the person who knows everything. And here I am, I say this thing, they have this question, and I don't know the answer. So I'm no longer going to have credibility with them. But that shouldn't hold us back, because ultimately, if we don't say anything, are they any closer to the answer? Probably not. And then kind of the last thing that I have that I think, you know, we perceive danger in spreading God's word or living the Christian lives to the fullest is we're afraid of being isolated. So Wednesday night we talked about Elijah and how, you know, he went up against the prophets of Baal and then he felt like he was the only prophet, but really there were 7,000 other people who were worshiping God. And I think this happens to us a lot today. We're worried about, you know, I have a specific example at work where there's someone that I haven't really, you know, I don't say, you know, I don't try to particularly hide things, but I'm not forthcoming about saying, you know, like, hey, I'm going to church this Sunday, would you like to come with me? Because I know exactly how he would react. And so this is kind of the flip side of what I said earlier. The unknown is the known. I know exactly what they're going to do. They're going to think, well, you're not intelligent if you believe in God, or you're not intelligent if you go to church. You don't think things through. And so that can be a constant fear for us, and that we're going to be isolated from the people that we're close to and that we spend time with. But that shouldn't hold us back either. So I think those are some of the things that lead us to be fearful as Christians and keep us from reaching our true potential. And so I think we're all aware, but I quickly wanted to touch on like what that keeps us from doing. So fear causes usually one of two reactions in this. It causes us to fight or it causes us to run away. And so I think in myself, I've seen this, you know, Facebook is a good example. Somebody posts something that either, you know, might challenge a belief or that I don't particularly agree with. And a lot of our reactions are like, I want to fight against that. I want to come out and I want to say, like, this is the right thing, because I'm afraid that, you know, we might lose rights as a Christian or have things that we're allowed to do. But a lot of times that's not the most correct action. That's our initial reaction to that fear we have that something's going to change in a way that we don't want to. And so that there's other ways to go about it. But also besides getting defensive, so whether that's on Facebook, whether that's in person and you have a quick reaction to something that may not be the most appropriate way to handle something, we can also run away and like never do anything about the situation, right? So like we have that friend who either has those questions about what they should do to be a Christian, or that person, like I mentioned, who will think of us probably in a different light from here on out and not think that we're as credible, we might run away from those situations, right? So as opportunities present themselves to say, hey, you know, Sunday morning I'm going to be at church, would you like to go with me? Maybe I just shy away from that, never bring it up. That's something that fear can lead us to do. But ultimately, all of these things group into missed opportunities that we have to spread God's word. And so every time we're afraid when an opportunity comes up, we probably shy away from that, or we might do the wrong thing if we're in that fight attitude. So we don't want to do that. So what can we do about these things? I think for the unknown, we have to trust God. We have to know that he's going to be there for us. We're not going to be able to play out every situation in our head, and it probably doesn't benefit us to go through and think, oh, if I do, think of everything like a chess game. If I move this piece, this, and this are going to happen. That's just going to work us up, and we're going to be really worried and cause us, you know, to be paralyzed in our fear. Instead, if we look at Psalm chapter 23, verse 4, I think probably a lot of us know this verse, but in the 23rd Psalm, verse 4, we can take some encouragement from this. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And this is the point that we want to get to, right? That's how we can face that unknown fear. Because if we know that God's ultimately always with us, we don't have to fear what's going to happen. If we're doing what's right, we don't have to be afraid. Also, I mentioned we have the fear of being wrong. So we don't want to lose that credibility. We don't want to be wrong, you know, because we don't want people potentially to know that we don't know something. And I think the way we can best equip ourselves against that is to study God's word and study it regularly. If we turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, we can see that we should always be prepared to give an answer for questions that may be asked of us. If you turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 16, we'll see that. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence, and keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. So here we see we should be ready to give an answer, and that's really going to help us with this fear of the of being wrong, is if we have studied our Bible, if we are prepared for those answers, right? If I have to get up and give a talk on something that I know nothing about, then I'm going to be a lot more nervous than if I have to get up and give a talk about something like Kentucky basketball, right? Like I'm not worried about somebody asking me a question I'm not going to know there. But other things, you know, that we don't know as well, and if that's the Bible for us, then we are going to be caught off guard more often. We also see in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15, that we need to study our Bibles as well. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." And again, this goes to, I think even getting up here sometimes, I can kind of get nervous because I'm like, what if I say the wrong thing? Maybe I'm not prepared as I could be. And what that actually ultimately comes back to is making sure that what I'm talking about, I do understand. I am prepared to talk about. And I think we can do the same thing with those that we approach in our lives every day. You don't necessarily have to have an answer for absolutely everything. There are strategies we can employ to say that I'm going to come back to you with an answer to this question, which is probably better than giving the wrong answer or something that we're not sure about. So when we get that off the wall question, or when we're worried about that, just think about, how can I handle this if I don't know it? You know, so for those cases where I don't know the answer, what can I say? Hey, I'm going to take this back. I want to study this a little bit. Or we can open the Bible together and look at this. And I think that'll help us be a lot more comfortable and not fear as much when we go through our daily lives about being wrong. And kind of the last thing of us being isolated or treated differently because we are Christians or we're doing what's right. I think one thing that helps us here is knowing that if we're presenting the information that we're given in the Bible, if we're presenting what God has given us, He's ultimately going to be the one who gives the increase or not. So if we turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, we can see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. We'll actually back up to verse 5. "What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth." And I think this perspective is so important to us not being fearful, right? It is us doing our duty as Christians to present the word of God, what He's given us. But I think so many times I find myself, and maybe you do too, thinking the success or failure of this person being converted, this person listening to the Bible, is on how good of a job I do presenting it, or how well I do connecting with them. And that's not the case. We can, you know, there's definitely things that we can do, attitudes that we can have that hopefully make it better. But if we're so worried about that and not about presenting what's in the Bible, we're not going to be effective and we're constantly going to be afraid. But I think another thing that helps us, you know, if we have that fear of being isolated or people treating us differently, is we have all of each other that's here today, right? So if we do end up and we're, you know, we're speaking out about God at work, we're speaking out about God with our families, you know, and everyone ostracizes us, we have our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so, you know, we meet regularly, we can encourage each other. And so we're always going to have that. Maybe we live somewhere where the church is smaller, maybe we live somewhere where the church is bigger, but we will always have people that we can reach out to, especially with technology as it is today, that can help us out and encourage us. So that's something else to keep in mind as we have that fear, you know, of isolation or maybe people treating us differently. Let's think about, you know, that it's God who ultimately gives that increase. It's God who will lead that person to being converted based on what we've said to them, but also that we can lean on each other. So I think ultimately, to summarize that, the best thing that we can keep in mind when we're afraid is that if God's for us, who can be against us? And Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 says that very plainly. Romans 8, verses 31 and 32, if you'll turn over there with me. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? So here we see that if we've got God on our side, we don't have to be afraid. And so that, I think, ultimately we can look at each of these separate pieces, but that's the most comforting thing to me, right, is that knowing that if I'm doing what I'm supposed to, God will be on my side. And so I think that's what I would challenge us all here to do, is think more about that, and then think from the perspective of it's not all about me and how I get my point across, or it's not all about me and the example that I set. While those are good things and while we should focus on those things, it's about spreading God's word, and it's about us living the Christian life. So if that's our focus, I think the other things will fall in place. So this morning, we every Sunday have the opportunity, if you're not a Christian, to, you know, we've heard the word this morning, you're able to believe, you can repent and confess that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you're able to be baptized and be brought into the fold, be a Christian today. Or you can come forward if you've strayed away in life and you haven't been doing what you should. Those are both opportunities that you have now. But let's remember as we go forward throughout this week that we don't want to be afraid, and we want to lean on each other so that we don't have to be afraid. So let's stand together and sing the song of invitation this morning.